Welcome back to His Time. It is Wednesday, January 15th. It is 8:05 Central Standard Time. I'm Andy Bates, your host, and it is time to study God's Word. Joining us by phone this morning is Pastor Stanish Stanley from India Evangelical Lutheran Church. Good morning, Pastor Stanley.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for having me.
It is great to have you on. I always enjoy the conversations I get to have with you and to be enlightened by you as well as you help us study God's Word today. So thanks so much for joining us. How are things going for your family?
Well, you are very kind, sir. Thank you very much. Things are going pretty well for my family. In fact, we are doing well, and I'm just progressing with my studies over here at the Concordia Seminary, and things are looking up.
Good, good. Well, are you ready to study Romans chapter 6 this morning?
Oh, no. I'm ready to do 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 17.
2 Timothy? How did you end up with 2 Timothy? Okay, well, let's take a look at 2 Timothy. Let me pull it up here. I thought we were working on Romans this morning.
Oh.
Very good. Let me pull up 2 Timothy here. Let me see what we've got here. What was the text again?
That was 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 17.
1 to 17. Okay, very good. Let me pull that up here and make sure that I'm on the same text as you, because I want to make sure that we're studying the same Word of God. I want to read the right thing.
That is right, sir.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Very good. Okay, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. Am I on the right text now, Pastor?
You are correct, sir.
Very good. All right. Well, let's take a look at that that first paragraph there. Give us some background on the text here, if you can.
Well, 2 Timothy is basically a letter that is a pastoral letter, as we all know, and it is written by St. Paul to his ward, his son, so to speak. Timothy is supposed to be this person who is supposed to be having a congregation, going out, preaching the word of God, and St. Paul finds out that there are difficulties, there are troubles, there are problems that Timothy faces, and he himself has faced many of these during his mission of preaching the word of God. So. Some of the problems are basically the false teachers who go out and spread their philosophies or their way of life and their teachings, and Timothy runs into those issues. There is also the question of persecution going around, and that does affect the people of God and more so the ones who preach the word of God. So all these kind of are taken into account as Paul talks about godlessness in the last days that people will face, that believers especially will face, and will have to deal with. So Paul is trying to definitely motivate the pastor in Timothy to stand steadfast in the midst of all these problems that are out there, to draw hope and also confidence and courage from the fact that the Word of God is self-sufficient. It is full of wisdom. It is also full of hope, and it has the promise that is inherently there, and also for everybody to kind of to accept. And the invitation is open for everybody. So this is basically what St. Paul is trying to talk Timothy into, and also believers like you and me today. The many out there who are listening to it, to the Word of God today, that we need to stand steadfast to our faith, in our faith, in the midst of all kinds of adversities, all kinds of false false teachings and all kinds of difficulties that we face in our day-to-day life.
So we are surrounded by false teachings all over. People are lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen, with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power.
Right.
And what does he tell us to do?
Well, he wants us to stand steadfast, to keep away, to avoid such people. Mm-hmm. So that's a very, very interesting point that St. Paul tries to make over here, and that is that you will find yourself in the midst of a godless age where everybody is kind of just running behind things that suit their pleasure, that suit what they like, what is in it for me, kind of a lifestyle, and in the midst of all this, for the normal believer, it is pretty easy to kind of just be taken away by this kind of talk or this kind of a lifestyle, this time kind of a materialistic kind of a worldview, where we become the center of our own future. We become the center of what really happens in our world around us, rather than really realizing that God is in control, that He is really the one who takes care of us, who gives us life, who gives us the necessary things that are needed for our day-to-day living. But instead of that, we can very easily be buying into those salesmen who are selling us goods or selling us the idea that, hey, you are the boss. So mm-hmm. whatever you want, whatever you like is what should be the center of your life, and not what God wants from you or what God calls you into, the vision that God calls you into. So, St. Paul kind of very clearly points out over there in verse 5, at the end of verse 5, very clear and very simple in its sentencing over there: avoid such people. So just don't get influenced by such people. Don't get influenced by such ideologies and such thoughts. Keep away from it.
Well,
it's not good for you. Yeah.
It's easy to avoid those people when they have a sign on them that says, "I'm the bad person." But but according to verse 6, it's not so. Quite often, it sounds like they're pretty sneaky about it. What enlighten us on verse 6 and 7 here.
Yeah. This was something of a common occurrence in the ancient Roman world. There were people with so many philosophies and so many ideas going around, the secret knowledge, the gnosis, and all that kind of stuff. And people would just get into the homes of homes when the husbands were not there, and they would talk to the women, and the women would be willing to give at least an ear to hear what these guys had to say, and many bought into these ideas and were led astray. But at the same time, and that is something that we also find in our life today, it is not the women anymore; it is everybody, all of us, who can be left thinking that yes, hey, well, what this guy is selling us, this sounds interesting, it's so good. What is in it for me? What is my life? I really want to enjoy my life and not think about all this self-sacrifice and self-controlling things, which are things of or vestiges of the past. I don't want to do that. I want to just go out there and enjoy the world. I want to enjoy and seek bliss and happiness for myself. So what happens is that it is now more of a stealthy way of us understanding and of us accepting many of the ideas which keep us away from self-sacrifice, mm-hmm. which keep us away from the Word of God. Today, it is more of these thoughts kind of seep in through our education, through our acceptance of what the societal norms are, mm-hmm. Through our acceptance of what media is telling us. This is more of a acceptance or a enjoyment of our own passions, of what we really want in our materialistic bodily age where self-satisfaction is the most important thing going around. So as St. Paul points out over here, it's a very stealthy way in which things moved and these kind of ideas kind of penetrated into the Christian community or those people who are accepting the gospel in his day and age, 2,000 years ago. Today it is much more sophisticated. It is through our educational system, through mm-hmm. our media, through whatever we kind of go and accept in our societal norms that those ideas kind of creep slowly in. Mm-hmm. And before we know it, maybe we are already far away from the truth of the gospel.
Verse 8, it looks like there's an Old Testament reference here. Who are Jannes and Jambres who opposed Moses?
Jannes and Jambres come more out, is more visible out in the rabbinical tradition, and they are considered to be magicians or supposed to be people who opposed Moses when Moses went to Egypt to demand the release of his people. So they were some of the guys who made fun of Moses or who were not who were against Moses and mm-hmm. against the release. So, but at the same time, they opposed the idea over here is that Jannes and just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, the same way these people. The ideas of today also oppose the truth. People who are corrupted in mind or who think that, yeah, they are having the truth and they have the right thing and who disqualify anything that the gospel or the word of God has to say. We are in the midst of such kind of a world and such kind of people, and we've got to be very alert against them.
So be alert. That's the message I'm hearing. Watch out for those who bring lies and oppose the truth. Verse 9, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. So it'll be, it's clear when they bring lies, is what I'm hearing.
That is right. It is going to be. That is what St. Paul is trying to say over here. That, well, you guys, truth can go as far as it can go, and it will go to the very end. But untruth, deception, lies, there is a limit to all of that. And the call over here is for us to kind of stand steadfast to the point that if you are convinced of the truth, you will last out the day, and you will be fine. But at the same time, sometimes the people of God find that the deceivers, the guys who are doing the wrong thing, are also enjoying. They're kind of very prosperous and fine. So what do we do? Our call is not over here to go out and kill those people or fight against them, rather to stand steadfast in what you believe, in what you know is the truth. And even though we feel and we find at certain times that, yeah, evil is kind of prospering, evil is the wrong ideas, the wrong ideologies are kind of doing well and they are prospering, it is just not true. The time will come when it will have to they will have to face the truth, and the time will come when deception will have to give away, and it will fall apart under the weight of its own arguments. So it can run only to a certain point, and after that there will be it will fall under the weight of its own contradictions. That's basically. St. Paul's point. But also, I would like to make a mention over here about the parable of the wheat and the tares that Jesus kind of talks about in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. And it is about the good seed and the bad seed. And people in a godless age, probably what Paul is alluding to over here is to point out that people who are the wheat, who are the light of the earth, who are the salt of the earth, have to stand kind of firm in the message that they have received. Mm-hmm. And of course, it is a godless age. It is an age where there will be people who will be just so consumed by selfish interests or vested interests and about their own self that they would they would do anything. And they would do anything not only to themselves so that they would kind of enjoy their life, but they would also want to carry others into their message so that they want more and more people to be on board with them so that they feel secure. But the wheat, the people, the wheat are those who have to grow with these with the weeds around them, and we are as a wheat, or we are as the salt of the earth. We are called upon to stand steadfast to that message that we have received, the promise of salvation, the promise of glory in God, and as we grow in the midst of all these challenges. The last days will come, the end days will come, and in fact, the end days are already here. We could even think of it that way. God knows when the last days are, but at the same time, as we live in this world, we always live with the understanding that, yeah, probably this is our last day. God decides when the time and the date and the moment. But as we live with the understanding that, yeah, every day, every moment of our life is the last day. And it is an opportunity, it's a gift from God for us to live our life according to His will and according to His vision that He has set forth. And as the last days come, we will be given that opportunity to be with our Lord, to be separated from those who have been opposing the truth or opposing the vision and the mission of God. And this is what we as the children of God are called to be and called to come into, mm-hmm. to be the wheat who will be taken into our Lord's side at the end.
Very good. Very good. Thank you for that, using that illustration to help us understand this text in 2 Timothy. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll finish, we'll take a look at the second part of the text today, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll start with verse 10. Does that sound good?
That is perfect.
Very good. We'll do that when we come back from the break. Listeners, stick around as we're studying God's Word this morning right here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Today, your Savior comes to you just in time. He has heard your prayers. He shows up for you. In Him is everything you're looking for, everything you need. He brings the word of encouragement you need. He delivers to you the news of forgiveness when you need a new beginning.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
An Ohio band and choir director says he knew that announcing his engagement to another man likely would mean he could no longer teach at a Roman Catholic school. Brian Panetta said he was forced to resign last week after he told administrators at Sandusky Central Catholic School about his engagement over the Christmas break. AP correspondent John Sewer reports.
The school says that being engaged and endorsing gay marriage goes against the church's teachings on marriage.
Two other teachers at Catholic school in Ohio have recently fought their firings over actions that administrators said went against teachings of the church. A lesbian teacher who challenged her firing by a school in Columbus didn't get her job back. Carla Hale and the Diocese of Columbus reached an undisclosed settlement. A jury in June found the Archdiocese of Cincinnati discriminated against another teacher who isn't Catholic, but who was fired after becoming pregnant via artificial insemination. I'm Steve Coleman.
In 1924, we embraced the new technology of that day, radio. Since that day, we've stayed on the cutting edge of technology. There are many easy ways to listen to Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the gospel of Christ in both word and song. Now that's why you should listen. The where and the how, well, that's up to you. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. It is Wednesday, January 15th. I'm Andy Bates, your host, and we are studying 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 17 this morning with Reverend Stanish Stanley from India Evangelical Lutheran Church. And before we went to break, we covered verses 1 through 9. We ready to pick up at verse 10, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
All right. Very good.
Thank you.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Here's the text, Pastor.
Very well read. Well, thank you so much. Yes, the text, it's very clearly kind of mentioned out over there, and the heading that comes over here, especially with the Lutheran Study Bible, is All Scripture is Breathed Out by God. So it definitely talks about the inspired Word of God, the Word of God that has been given out to us through Scriptures. And the important thing is that it is breathed out. It has life. It is metaphorically kind of used by St. Paul over here. Breath, the breath of man, the breath of people, of human beings, or for that matter, every animal is supposed to be the one which gives you life, which keeps you living. So it is the living Word of God that that comes out through Scripture. It is it helps us to live, to stand steadfast, to face all that the world puts before us, all challenges that the world has. We can live in this world completely believing and trusting in that Word of God, which gives us the strength, which gives us the wisdom, which gives us the power to remain not only as good people in this world, but also as people who are dear and near to God.
People who are near and dear to God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so God's Word, is there anything stronger than God's Word?
I don't think so. As Christians and as people who believe in the vision that yes, we have been created by God, yes, the Word of God is the strongest that is out there. Of course, you could make the argument today with all the knowledge that is out there with science, with technology, and so forth. There would be many who would make the argument that hey, forget about all this God's Word business, and let's get into science and math and this and that, and mm-hmm. that is very important. And that is true, yes, at the human level, we all have been given the gift. We have been blessed by God with all these talents and with all this knowledge. At the end, it is knowledge which comes with a catch, as the first father and mother found out in the Garden of Eden. It is not the knowledge of good alone. It is the knowledge of good and evil. And that is what Scriptures teaches us. All the knowledge that we have, finally we run with all that knowledge, but it still falls short. Human limitedness and human frailty is a reality that each and every one of us needs to find out. And what the Word of God really teaches us, and as St. Paul kind of tries to point it out to Timothy also, is that Scripture basically teaches us that we need a Savior. It shows that we are in sin. It shows that we need the one who will redeem us, who will show us the promise of eternal life. And it teaches us that there is a suffering servant who will be coming to take away our sins, to serve us selflessly, to self-empty himself selflessly again for you and for me, for our sin. And it also teaches us that, yes, God's Word is faithful. You can trust in it, and his promises are true. And that is what keeps us going, because it is a final trust and complete trust in God that enables us to live our life. Whether you want to call it through wisdom or whether you want to call it through just God's grace. Yes, that is what God's word and God's grace is all about. And St. Paul is not only telling Timothy, but for each and every individual, each and every believer, that latch on to that faith, latch on to the word of God, study it, learn from it. But most importantly, completely anchor yourself on it. Trust in it completely, because your foundations are so secure there.
What does this text tell us will happen with Christians while we're on earth studying God's word and awaiting that day of glory? What does it tell us is going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Well, verse 12 indeed, as he says, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So that is something of a dampener, really, for people.
Absolutely.
Who want to follow God's word and live according to His vision. My goodness, I'm going to be persecuted. Then why should I really follow this? You know, that's a very good question for us to kind of keep in mind. But the fact of the matter is that that this is what St. Paul himself encountered as he sets out in verse 10 itself to point out what he kind of went through. And the interesting thing over there is that St. Paul is pointing out to Timothy, look at my life. That is the example that he sets out there. So the evidence for Scripture, for the truth of Scripture, lies not only in the truth of the gospel or in the truth of the message itself, but also it lies in the example that is set forth by those who follow the gospel. So St. Paul, being that example who has followed the gospel, points out that, hey, see, look at my life. Look at how I have lived. You know me very well. You know how faithful I have been, mm-hmm. how much I completely am convinced of the message of the gospel. But at the same time, we as human beings, as created beings, find that the world is not in sync with us. There is evil. There is going to be persecution. There is going to be trouble. There are going to be imposters who are going to come and say that, hey, we are not really on the right page. We are not really trusting or we are not really living a smart life by just completely placing our faith on somebody who was crucified on the cross. So, but the fact of the matter is that even our Lord, in whom we believe, He Himself had to go through persecution. He Himself had to go through pain, through suffering, for you and for me, for our sinfulness. So, this is a reality that the believer and for that matter, everybody who wants to follow the Word of God has to keep in mind. You better keep that in mind and be sure that, hey, these things are going to happen, so that you don't get you're not caught unawares that when hard times or suffering really comes. But the most important, hold on to the promises of God, mm-hmm. because that is what St. Paul himself has done, and he has had good times and also bad times, and he has been faithful in all of them.
And what are those promises? Those very promises are here in this text as well, correct?
Yes, that is right. I think I missed that question. Can you repeat that?
Well, you know, you're going to endure persecution is what the text tells us. That there's going to be persecution, but you said, you know, enduring the
right.
persecution, you can endure it because you have the promises of God. And those promises, we see those promises here in this text. You know, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. It's the Word of God that makes us wise.
Mm-hmm. Makes us wise.
For salvation, specifically for salvation, not just wise in terms of the world's understanding of wisdom, as you were talking about earlier, math and science and, mm-hmm. and all those things, but wise for salvation.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. Yes, that is what Scripture teaches us. It teaches us and it shows us the need for a Savior. It teaches us that we are limited people. We have human sin has completely taken over us. And as you rightly pointed out over there, as St. Paul points out, that in the midst of all this sinfulness, in the midst of all this persecution, you as a child of God will have the tools necessary, will have the strength necessary to endure them all. Because as he points out in that verse over there, which is, I guess, 11 itself, St. Paul points out that God, the Lord, rescued me from all persecution. So for each and every one of us who want to live in that vision, who believe in that vision completely, it is, number one, important to remember that, yes, persecution, suffering, and difficulties will be a part and parcel of our life. But it is not going to be so that we wouldn't be able to handle it. God will give us the strength. And God, through His Word, every time kind of instills in us or inculcates in us the values, the courage, the mindset necessary to face, to the wisdom that is put out in the world, to the to what is thrown out to us by the world, and it is important for us to hold on to that trust and to that message, and also realize that that salvation for us is important. This is what we realize when we live in the biblical vision, in the biblical worldview, that yes, sinfulness has overtaken human beings. It has overtaken the world. Even today, we can see the alienation. We can see the rupture. We can see if you wanted to call it injustice, whatever. It's a part and parcel of the world. There is nothing perfect. But the only one who is perfect and who leads us to that perfection, to that completeness, to that peacefulness, is the Word of God. It is that Christ who has died for you and for me. And as St. Paul points out in verse 14 over there, I believe, it is you need to continue in what you have learned. It is about your foundations, the foundations that you have received. For Timothy over here, it is Saint Paul himself. It is also Timothy's mother and grandmother, as we find out in First Timothy.
Lois and Eunice.
Yes, and also I believe it is. There is also a kind of a connection to the parable of the house that you make on rock and on sand in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, I guess it's 24 to 27 verses, where we are those ones who have been given that strong foundation. We are on firm footing, on firm ground. We are the people. The people who believe in the Word of God are those who have been, whose house is built on solid rock. And we are strong. And we can endure all this. We can endure because we come with the humility and the realization that it is not us who have, because of our own good deeds or actions have reached anywhere or have got salvation. No, it is because Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Son of God, has done it for us. And it is on that foundation and that humble realization that we live, and when we trust completely on that, that strengthens us to lead a life in this world with all its challenges, completely peaceful and at comfort.
Let's take a look at verses 16 and 17. I know we've only got a couple minutes left. And I know you highlighted this when we started this text today. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Mm-hmm. What does this tell us about God's word?
Well, it really tells us that whatever is needed, God's word is self-sufficient in itself. As I pointed out earlier, the truth of the evidence of Scripture lies in its the message itself. It is the living Word of God. It is able to teach us what are all the necessities that we need to have in our day to day life as believers, and also as just simple people living in this world. It calls you and me. For once, at least, for repentance, to repentance. It makes us realize where we are wrong, where we need our Savior, where we need God's God to let us know that, hey, you got it wrong, and now I am calling you back to a new, to turn away from what you are setting yourself up into, whether it is your selfish desire or whether you're too much of a focus on yourself, on the self. So there is the opportunity for correction, which comes from the Word of God. The Word of God helps us and strengthens us to live a sanctified life. We are being trained daily in righteousness. We are being trained daily to live a life which is in sync with the vision and the witnessing of God's Word. So also there is a reproof. So you can find out the truths that is necessary. We've already found so many doctrines that the Bible kind of puts out there, and we live by it. So Scripture also has that kind of function also. But the most important thing is that what the Word of God does is it equips each and every one of us, as St. Paul points out over there. It is not only the pastor who is equipped, of course he is, but also the common man who believes in his Savior. That common man and that common woman is equipped in all ways to lead a life which is godly, to lead a life which is ready to face the challenges of the world, which is ready to say no to the false teachers, which is ready to say yes, I live by grace alone. So Scripture really has everything in it that is necessary for us, for you and for me, to lead a life which is satisfying, which is also happiness giving, to the point when we realize that, and when we realize and completely place our trust in that Lord who has given himself for you and for me.
Very good, very good. So God's Word really does what it says. It's performative. It accomplishes what he says it will do, and it certainly does that completely, so that we are equipped for every good work that he has set out for us to do. Very good. Well, Pastor Stanley, thank you so much for taking time to study God's Word with us this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We really appreciate the time that you've set aside for us, and so that we could be enlightened and be equipped for every good work.
Thank you very much, and I want to wish you all and all the listeners a very blessed day. Thank you so much.
Thank you to you as well.
Thank you.
Coming up in the next hour, we'll join together for morning prayer, and we'll continue our day here with the Word of God in prayer on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.